This episode of Own the Gray is brought to you by I Am. Discover your unique talents, realize your potential, and align to your path. Take the first step to uncover your life purpose by visiting deborahjones.ca/courses. Your value doesn't decrease based on someone's inability to see your worth. This quote by motivational teacher Zig Ziglar is something for every divorcee to remember. Kelly Calabrese is a divorce recovery coach who takes a spirit-mind-body approach to help you redefine yourself to live an extraordinary, what she calls, bonus life. Filled with peace, joy, gratitude, self-love, and celebration. Kelly tells us that her approach to healing from divorce isn't like anything else you'll find. She's created an 8-week program based on what she needed when she was where you are now. Divorce is a difficult process to go through, but there are active steps that you can take to start the process of healing and rebuilding your life today. Welcome to Own the Gray, a podcast to dispel the notion that aging is undesirable and setting new positive attitudes. I'm Deborah Jones, and I believe you can be vibrant and healthy throughout the best years of your life. So Kelly, you're a divorce recovery coach, and I think that's an awesome title and something that I think a lot of people will be attracted to, just the words of it. And taking a look at your bio, you're 50-something, something turned your experiences into tools and resources even for others. So do you want to share with us a little bit about why you do what you do and how you show up in the world?
Absolutely. Well, from the pain comes purpose. And I have always been involved in health, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. In fact, for 35 years, I've been a clinical exercise physiologist. I've been blessed to do so many things. I've owned and operated health clubs, managed corporate fitness centers. I wake up every day wanting people to be well. I hate illness. I hate lack. I hate disease. I hate poverty. And it has never felt like a job for me. I just want everyone to be the best that they can. And so my vehicles have always revolved around the physical part, but I also took a mind, body, and spirit approach to well-being. After 24 years, my husband came home and he said, "My commitment to our marriage is zero." And that was my thing. That was the turning point that really floored me, took me to my knees, emptied me out, made me question everything about my life. Up to that point, I really thought I had it all together. So I went on this 3-year healing sabbatical where I was determined to figure it out. And I did all the things. I went to divorce recovery. I was in Bible study, prayer groups. I was reading the books, watching the TED Talks, listening to the sermons. I was at the retreats, the conferences. I mean, I had to do something to make this pain stop, to never repeat this. And I ultimately wound up putting together the program that I wished I had after. Mm-hmm. So that's really what started my journey.
Yeah, I took a look at that program and it's quite diverse. And what I thought about when I was looking at all the things you do is it really is a holistic way of approaching a situation and turning it around and making the most of it. And it looks like the holistic part and the mind, body, soul part of it, obviously you've put it together based on what you learned and what wisdom and knowledge you have. But can you identify what makes it so unique?
Yes. Well, I think it actually applies to any loss in life. So whether you lost a child, a parent, a job, a business, life is going to be hard. There's going to be struggle and difficult things. There is rejection in the world. That is just part of life. And I really feel like we're not trained and equipped how to handle those things. And so we have a choice with what we do with the hard things. And the things that I boiled it down to, these eight things, I feel like are universal things that everyone could benefit from. And if you really want to get to know who you are in your soul, to be confident in yourself, to live a bold, courageous, adventurous life without fear, that these eight things are the things that you need to do that.
When people have gone through this course, what kinds of comments are you receiving?
Oh my goodness, it is such a blessing. Someone just sent me one that said, Brené Brown, Tony Robbins, and Kelly Calabrese were the three people who got me not only through my divorce, the hardest, darkest times, but really to love myself and know that I am worthy of a great life. So I was like, whoa. That was huge. And you know, I've had from one end where people are still married and they come to me and they might be saying like, Kelly, I can't stand to be in the room with him. I hate his tattoos. I'm moving into the guest room. Like I can't. And I'm like, okay, let's take a breath. Let's focus on you. And when I do these eight things with them, this one particular woman, now they're 2 years later, they are so in love. I see pictures of them everywhere. She's planning his 50th surprise birthday party right now. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like they've never been happier. And everything came together, their children, their businesses, they paid off debt. I mean, it was like, wow. And then I have people who are 7 years post-divorce who were still stuck and stopped in that same place of I'm not lovable. I keep attracting the same addictive type man. And now one of them actually took the whole year off from dating. And it was just a year in January. And I just had another conversation with her. And she's like, I am just so whole. And I feel equipped and filled with joy. I didn't need or have a man all year. But now if he comes, I feel like I'm ready to attract the right man, and but I don't need it. So it's like, wow. So it's just so incredible to hear these kinds of testimonials.
Wow, that must make your heart sing for sure.
Yes.
and as a healer myself, and I deal with those kinds of situations people are in too. And I would tell you that my focus is to have my client focus on themselves as well. I think that really is the key, not the situation, not what happened, not the past, but who are you and what are you going to do now? And I think, you know, taking a look at your course, you've kind of broken it up into some really bite-sized pieces, because each one of your topics is huge. It really is, isn't it?
It could be an entire course, just one topic. Yes,
it could. And so it's really amazing how you've boiled it down, you know, a bit like the maple syrup that we do here in Canada. You just boil it down and you've got the sweetest, most effective, and obviously with proof with all of your testimonials that it really works. And it isn't just you that has put this together. I noticed you've got a lot of speakers, a lot of people that you've worked with. Can you share a little bit about their part in what you do?
Yeah. So on my quest, I went out to handpick the, what we call, you know, healers, the counselors, the therapists, the wise counsel. And there were 21 that I found that really were instrumental on my journey. So a breath therapist, a meditation therapist, an energy therapist. I had, you know, professional Christian counselors, women who I met on retreats who were healers. And I had even a mental, like, brain health person, because I had PTSD. I mean, my brain was not working. I couldn't remember. I couldn't think. And so even just to get my mind sharp again, I had a grief counselor. So each of them played a role, played a part. I went through deliverance training. I mean, I did a lot. And so I interviewed 21 of them. One of them is on re-engaging. So when I'm not there yet, I'm not dating yet, but I have a friend who went through this and I wanted to know that. So if, when I'm ready, I'm equipped in that. So for people who go through the program who are ready to open their heart and start dating again, or who are already dating, they can learn from that. So I have another one in there on sexual trauma. That was not an issue for me, but I know for a lot of women it is. So I brought in a sexual trauma expert into the program so that whoever needs that can get that as well. So there's 21 different really world-class people that I scoured the land to find.
Awesome. So I think it would be really cool to give our listeners sort of the highlights of each of those 8 steps that you identify in your program, just to give us a taste of what that's all about. So how would you like to do that?
I would love to do that. Yes. So week 1 is identity. And it's really about who you are and whose you are. And in the case of divorce, you identify as a wife or a husband, if there's men listening. And so when that identity goes away, and especially for people who've been married, for a lot of the women I work with are married 20, 25, 30 years. So you've identified as a wife. And at this same age, the kids are going off to college. So now your role as a mom is changing. And divorce is a life event for a reason. Probably you're selling the house. You may change, you know, churches. All your friends were couples. Now there's it. So your identity was lined up in all these things of the world. And now they could be gone in a moment. And it can really wreck you. It did for me. And so what we will do is we'll try and change things on an environmental level first. So we kind of do the surface things, thinking it'll make everything else better, but that's just not enough. Then we try habits. Habits are good. I'm all about them, but it's still not enough. So yes, get up and stretch and meditate and drink water with lemon. You know, that's all good. But you need to get deep down to that soul level. And the soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So it's really seeing yourself through a lens that hopefully people believe in a creator. For me, it was my faith that really got me through. But I had to go, how is God seeing me? Like really, God isn't rejecting me. Even if my husband did, God isn't. So it helped me because I would have these heaven experiences where I would just imagine, okay, that's the highest thing I could possibly think of is if I was in heaven. And I would just imagine myself there. And that's where I started to re-find my identity in truth and light and love and joy. So those are kind of the highlights of the identity topic.
And so with that identity, I mean, there's a part of it where you might have relied on your partner to be your rock or to be your stability. Do you find that that's a big thing to find yourself all of a sudden sort of with nothing to hold on to?
Absolutely. Yeah. And for me, I was sort of a little bit more of the man in my relationship. My marriage was upside down. So I was the provider. I was the doer. You know, I was the one out there making things happen. And for women who the husband did all those things and they don't even know how to write a check or, you know, how to do that, then it's, you really feel lost. So even still, you miss, that was your soulmate. That was the person who's attached to your soul. You miss the inside jokes. You miss the co-parenting, you know, all of that. So when the first thing that God brought together, the first covenant was marriage. And so when that gets divided, it is a tearing of your soul. So you can actually physically, palpably feel that. So yes, you absolutely miss your identity as Mrs. So-and-so. You married them for a reason. There was something about them that you loved, at least when you went to the altar, even if it faded or went bad over time.
Mm-hmm. So that's the first week. So what's in week 2?
Forgiveness. I wish I could say this was one of the first things I did. You know, I had said the words, I forgive him early on, but it was actually the last piece for me, but I wanted to put it up front in the program because it's that important. It is so vital. And for me, I was bitter. I was so bitter. And, you know, if you heard my story, you'd cry. It was unreasonable. It was unfair. It was unjust. And I was holding my own feet to the fire. I was burning and punishing myself. I saw myself as a failure. And I really thought that the forgiveness was for him. And what I found was it was way easier to forgive my former husband, who was, you know, re-engaged within a month of our divorce and remarried immediately after, than it was to forgive myself. And so when I did that, again, I could feel that forgiveness. I could feel the freedom, like lift off of my body. And I took it a step further. One of the highest levels of forgiveness is to forgive the person in the area that they hurt you. So for my former husband, I can say, I bless him and his new wife. I wish them no harm. Till death do they part. May they complete each other. I really, really say that with complete sincerity. I have no ill feelings towards him. And I also bless myself, and I don't hold myself, you know, accountable for the past. It is done. There's nothing I can do about it. I can learn from it. But then an even higher level is to live a life of pre-forgiveness. And that's where you go out pre-deciding that you're not going to be someone who's easily offended. And if you are offended, you're going to let it go quickly. And if you offend someone, you're going to be quick to apologize, but that you're not going to live this life where you're just so easily offended. You're just going to want to be quick to forgive because your peace is too expensive. It is not worth giving up. And if there is a trigger or something that hits you, you don't quite fall as long, as deep, as hard, or as fast as you did in the past. You get over it quickly. And then you go, okay, I can't afford to be bitter or angry or depressed or whatever. I want to get on to the next joyful thing.
Yeah. I think that self-forgiveness piece, I seem to see that a lot. It takes quite a bit of courage to recognize when we're not being kind to ourselves, when we are judging ourselves or even blaming ourselves for the choices that we made, like the, you know, saying, why did I choose such a person that, you know, what kind of choices do I make in life if I made this choice? Do you see that?
Yes, I somehow attracted that, you know, and I don't want to do that again. Yeah.
So changing the narrative and changing your viewpoint, sounds like that week two is a lot to do with that as well.
Yes.
And so week three, what's that all about?
Renewing your mind. So what happens is we stay so stuck in the past and we're really living in regret and guilt and shame when we do that. And the interesting thing is the things that have happened in the past, they're not even really how we remember them. But now we add all this emotion to it. And the minute we start to have that feeling, all this negative emotion rises up in our minds. Or we're spending our time in the future where we're in so much fear of the things that we don't even know that have happened yet, that we're just chronically in a state of anxiety and stress. But if you can get present, because this is all we have, this is all we're guaranteed, and really breathe, then you can, you know, lower the chaos and make some good decisions one step at a time, one breath at a time. So it's about renewing your mind from the past and also starting to get excited about your future, getting hope for your future, starting to imagine what your future can be like, and then working backwards from there.
Mm-hmm. Is part of that looking at the way your mind is working, touching on the idea of what we've believed is possible or believed we can or can't do?
Yeah. So everything we have in our lives right now, the relationships, the money, the health, the job, our children, is a result of what started with a belief. So the belief became a thought. The thought then became words that got spoken out into the world. Those words have power. When those words are done habitually, they become a habit. That habit then becomes your character, and that character becomes your identity. So it all started way back with a belief. So the great news is you can change your beliefs or not. You know, we have the choice. So if you want new things, you have to believe differently. And that involves change, and that involves courage and resilience. But you have to do something different to get a different result. 95% of what we do after the age of 35 is habitual. Just people just hardly change at all once they hit, you know, a stride of adulthood.
Yeah, I always say a belief is just a story you tell yourself over and over again. And yes. So if you don't like where it's headed, you just tell yourself a new story. And that's, I guess, where affirmations come in, isn't it?
Affirmations are powerful. They are part of my program. I have a healing guide that goes along with the program. So each week, that topic is, that's what the affirmations would be on. So on the Renewing Your Mind week, all the affirmations have to do with that. But you really have to have the desire and the belief in the affirmation. Otherwise, your brain is going, nope, I'm not smart. No, I'm not lovable. No. So if you're saying I am smart, I am lovable, you have to have the desire at least to believe it, even if it's not true. Because if you're saying I'm rich, but you're like, Kelly, look at my bank account. I'm not. But do you have the desire to believe it? And then start there from the desire, then you're willing. And then from the willingness, you have a readiness. And then from the readiness, you actually start doing.
Yeah, I love that step-by-step approach. It makes it really easy to comprehend, because I think when you're in the middle of something like that, as you said yourself, your mind just isn't together, right? You really need somebody to say, take this step, take that step now, and now take this step, right? And yes. And so I think to be a coach in that area, I think that's really important to kind of hold their hand to walk them through to a point where they can finally see themselves.
Yes. And there has to be a readiness too. I mean, some women I'll talk to and they'll say, nope, I want to have a pity party. Nope. I want to sit here and I want to sulk and I want to cry. And I go, okay, let me know when you're ready. Okay. I hope you don't, stay there, but not for too long,
Yeah, I hear you. So on week four, what's week four about?
Week four is purpose. So purpose, sometimes when you go through a major event like a divorce, you really start to question, what is my purpose? Did it change? Is it something that was inside me before I was born? Did it now take a new direction because of divorce? So this isn't something magic. It really takes a deep dive to figure this out. And I ask a lot of really good questions, going back to childhood dreams and desires, and what is it that you do that when you do it, you don't even realize hours go by and it's effortless and it brings you so much joy. And, we ask all the questions, like if you won the lottery, what would you do? If time and money were no object, what would you do? If you had 6 months to live? And so I take them through a whole series of really good questions to get them imagining and dreaming again, so that they can break up the box of I am a, teacher, librarian, whatever, but you can do something different. And it's amazing how I see these women like Wonder Woman. They just rise up and they're like, oh my goodness, I never knew I wanted to be a painter, or, wow, I'm really good at this technology thing and I've always been afraid to do it, but no, this feels right. And so it's believing with them and giving them the courage to dream and put it together. And yeah, it's scary. I mean, whether it's entrepreneurship for the first time or leaving a job you've been in for so long and pivoting, switching gears. But so many people are doing things they hate anyway, or maybe you've been doing it for, 22 years and you know what that's about. And I mean, my kids' generation are expected to have 5 careers. My kids are in college now, not 5 jobs, but 5 careers. So why can't a woman in her 50s plus start something new now? I mean, you see people do incredible things in their 50s and 60s. So just because you've been doing it doesn't mean you need to. There's a purpose in some area of your life that you can further develop, whether it's mission work or, who knows, something creative you want to do.
Yeah, the world's your oyster. And so look at it from that perspective of opportunities and possibilities, right?
Yes.
So what about week 5?
Week 5 is self-love and gratitude. I put them together because they really do go together, but they are both superpowers. So what's inside us is what comes out of us when life is hard. So if we have filled ourselves with I'm unlovable, I'm unworthy, I'm too old, I'm going to stay stuck in depression. When things get hard, that's what comes out of us. The resentment, the defensiveness, whatever the ugly, dark things are that we have fed ourselves. Every time we walk out of our closet, we look in the mirror and we go, I'm fat, I'm lumpy, whatever it is. That's what the love we have fed ourselves. So if we're supposed to love our neighbors, what are we loving our neighbors with? We can only love what's inside us. And sometimes we give other people the best of us and then we're left empty. So if we want to walk into a room and vibrate the very highest levels of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, all of that, that's what we have to fill ourselves with so that when things get hard, the love comes out. The peace comes out, the joy comes out. And so, yes, it could be spa things. The girls love all the spa things, of course. Take care of yourself, go get the facials and massages and, all the beauty treatments for sure. But it's more than that. It's doing taking the time and go walk in the grass, go be under trees, walk around the lake, get in nature, have quiet time, have times of silence where most people don't. So much can happen in the alone time when you're loving yourself. And then the gratitude, One of the things that I committed to doing as I was going through my journey was filling a page every single night with gratitude. And it's not a little notebook. It is a big notebook. It's like 20 pages, 20 lines. And so initially it was really mechanical. It was like, well, I took my vitamins, I walked the dog, you know, it was like, check, check, I was doing this. But then as I was going throughout my day saying to myself, you need to fill that gratitude page. Like, you better be on the lookout for things to be thankful for all day long. So I started going throughout my day like, oh my goodness, I get to talk to Deborah today on the show. Like, not everyone gets to do that. How awesome is that? That's going into my gratitude. And who knows who will hear this? And one person might get hope, and that's awesome. And you know, wow, my neighbor, she brought me soup, or someone sent me a book. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then what started to happen was I started to receive all of these things, and I started to track those and actually put a dollar amount on them. And by the end of the year, it will be hundreds of thousands of dollars. I mean, people are like, oh, you know, go stay at my Airbnb for the weekend, or, you know, would love to take you to dinner, or hey, I have tickets to the concert, front row. And I was like, oh my, like, stuff just started coming. I'm like, it's part of me just putting out the gratitude and thanks and self-love. And so it's just how it works. You can't, you know, keep the energy to yourself, and what you put out is what's going to come back. And so that was, you know, sort of the beauty of how the gratitude works.
Yeah, love that. And it really does. I've tried it myself. It works very well. Yes. So week six, what's week six about?
Divine health. And this is my superpower. I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years. So I am all about waking up every day and being well. I don't know how any woman goes through the divorce who is not healthy. I mean, if I didn't have my physical health and I was starting out, you know, with migraines or gut issues or muscle pains, and had to go through this, you know, emotional, spiritual, physical event, I don't know how women do it. So this is the one thing of the few things that we actually can do something about. We can control, you know, no one's putting, you know, cheesecake and beer in my mouth. Like, that is, no one's making me drink a bottle of wine every night. Like, that's something I can do something about. So if you look at your body is a temple, how can you take care of it? And some people go on, you know, what they call the divorce diet. And that could go either way, where you're just trying to fill your emotions with food and you're overfeeding, just stuffing yourself, trying to, you know, fill an ache that you can't fill with food, but you're trying. Or they go the other way where they don't even want to eat. They don't want to cook. They have no appetite. They don't think they're worthy of eating. They'd get a sick stomach if they ate. So we want to ultra, ultra nourish your body. And so it is, you know, the sleep and the hydration and, you know, the physical fitness part as well. So the meditation, so everything to have you as healthy and as well as possible. And, you know, some people look even better after divorce, where now they have this brightness and this glow. And there's a lot of great things to this season of your life. If you can really look at, wow, what's good about this? Well, my schedule's kind of my own right now. Like, I can get up when I want and go to bed when I want and go to the gym when I want and buy the foods that I want. And so you could be in the best shape of your life right now. Like, why would you not want to look good and sexy just for yourself? So that, yeah, divine health is a fun chapter for me.
Yeah. And as an energy healer, I see that we hold our grief and our negative energy in our body. Do you notice that too?
Completely. Yeah. When I worked with the breath therapist, she was like, wow. I mean, I was like a vice. I was so torqued up. And, you know, I exercise every day. I stretch every day. I do yoga, but the body holds the trauma. It's in your DNA. And it's not just your life. It's generational. So through breath work, she calmed my nervous system down. I did work with an energy healer, and she helped to get the negative energy out and the positive energy in. And 100% your body holds trauma. And divorce is a massive trauma. So I highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So we've got two more weeks to go. What's week seven all about?
Week seven is about abundant wealth. So when people go through divorce, they tend to have a very much poverty mindset, you know, especially a woman where you don't know what your future might hold financially if you don't remarry. The number one group for poverty in the US is single moms. Some women have no idea the debt that they had in their family, credit cards that were rang up. And so all this fear comes in, and then how am I going to provide? And a lot of times alimony doesn't get paid. Child support doesn't get paid. You know, the mother's winds up being the nurturer usually. So she's going to be the one responsible for getting the kids through college. And that happens in a lot of situations. So there's so much scarcity around money. So helping to get an abundant mindset for them again, and knowing that, you know, there are ways for provision to happen. And it's not just money, it's abundance in relationships, it's abundance in socialization. I mean, everything, your health. So it's about an abundant mindset.
There's been some studies that show that women are actually better at managing money than men.
Yes.
And here's an opportunity to prove that.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, sometimes it was whoever was stronger in the household took care of that. But yeah, less women are getting into the STEM science, the science and math and those type of high school and college pursuits, because women get really intimidated by, you know, engineering and accounting, but they could be great at it. And yeah, women could be so good at budgeting and all of that. So they can, even if they haven't, it's a skill you can develop.
Mm-hmm. It's a scary thing at first until you realize that, hey, you know, this really isn't as scary as I thought it was.
It's liberating. It's so liberating to pay down debt and buy your first car, maybe by yourself. I see women posting pictures of their cars, like, I bought my first car. And, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, I can relate to that. So then the last week, week 8, what's that all about?
Joy, resurrection, celebration. It's like, okay, this is not all hard. This is not all struggle. This is not all pain and grief and suffering. There's still exciting, beautiful, joyful, miraculous things happening all around you. And you need to be intentional about going out and making those things happen. So you can't sit in your house all isolated and say, I have no friends. Like, be the friend you want to be. Go out. And, you know, if your birthday's coming and you want to not sit in your house and cry that no one recognized, plan your own party if you need to, or get your best friends together. Plan the girls' trips, you know, plan the family gatherings. Whatever it is that brings you joy, if it's volunteering with pets, if, you know, whatever it is, what lights your soul on fire, go do those things. And if you don't, you're going to burn out. You're going to be sad. You're just robbing your life if you're not celebrating. And if you do, now you're including other people in your joy. You're letting them know what's going on in your life. You're getting to know what's going on in their life. And now you're building success upon success. So you don't just reach a goal, but you stop and you celebrate it and then move on to the next one. Find something to celebrate every single day and then have even bigger goals into the near and far future.
Wow. So that really brings it full circle back to rebirthing, reinventing your life, and then going out into the world, a whole new you.
Yes, absolutely. That's the whole idea of intentionally fabulous. So you are a new creation and you almost don't want your friends to recognize you. Like, you want to walk in the room like, yes, like, I've got this. I went through the fire and I came out on the other side and I am better. I am stronger. I am bolder. I'm more courageous. I'm more resilient. I'm, you know, just about fireproof. Like, not too much can happen after a divorce that should knock you down. Not to say, you know, there can't be an accident or things can't happen, but if you come through this well, it's unlimited what you can do.
That's beautiful. And so you called this program Intentionally Fabulous, Single Redefined. And so when people go to your website and intentionallyfabulous.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes, what are they going to find there?
Well, they can find information about the program, and it's really about transformation more than information. Yes, the information is there. The program is very robust. It is an 8-week program, but you have it for life. So if you don't get through in 8 weeks, or if you need to go back and revisit that forgiveness chapter, if you want to take your time going through the healing guide, you have it for life. So it's about transforming, and the healing guide, like anything else, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So if you really listen to those meditations and you say those affirmations and you do the activations and you do the celebrations, you'll just get so much out of it. So it's a really robust program.
Yeah. And you've got a lot of different offerings. You've got resources. You've written some books. You've got a lot of videos on there and your own podcast called Fit Over 50 Life, which my listeners may be interested in as well. Can you tell us just a little bit about your podcast?
Yeah. So I have a Facebook page with a friend. He's in Florida. I'm in Texas. And our Facebook group right now has like 35,000 people who are over 50 who want to be fit. So much energy, great community. So we decided to do a podcast and we bring in experts that help you to be fit over 50, body, mind, and spirit.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. I'm going to put a link to all of that in the show notes. Is there anything you'd like to say to my listeners if you want to leave them with a parting thought?
I would say to let love win. Love is my sort of life word. And that's the barometer that I use to make every decision as I go about my day. So I just see love as the highest possible good. So that's what I'm always contending for as I go throughout my day. How could love win in this situation? And yes, we're going to miss it sometimes. I miss it every day, but I just use that as the mark for how to live life. So I hope that gives people hope. And I hope they do decide if they're in the situation to pursue the course. And just if anything else, I hope they got some hope out of this.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for sharing your wisdom and your insight into such a difficult time of life for many. But it sounds like you've got the answers, at least to guide people in the right direction to find themselves. So thanks, Kelly, for joining us on Own the Gray today.
Well, thank you, Deborah, and thank you for bringing this show to the world. It's so needed and exciting.
I appreciate you listening. Thanks so much. Please go to speakpipe.com/Deborah Jones to share what you thought about this episode and what you'd like to hear next on Own the Gray. This episode brought to you by Lunch with a Healer podcast. The best conversations happen when you're having lunch with a friend, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair at lunchwithahealer.com.